Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor@USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
You know, I guess today's a holiday, and all of our government workers are taking a well-deserved rest after not working for the whole week last week. Get them in shape for not working next week and the rest of this week. And all set, cocked, locked, here we go. Your dial is set correctly. To USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us today. Well, actually, thank you for being in class with me today. It looks like I am running solo today. And I thought that what I would do is teach lessons from the 5-Minute University. So I selected some random lessons, not in any particular order, but things that you probably haven't heard elsewhere. Things that you might find handy as you go through your journey down the road that poor leadership is taking us. So here's one thing that I do. I bought a bunch of 55-gallon steel barrels and plastic barrels, and I store oil in the 55-gallon plastic ones. And the reason is they probably will not decompose for a long time, not before I use it anyway. And they have, they'll hold about 55 gallons, as I mentioned. They have two-inch bungs. And a bung is like a threaded plug. And so what I do is I pour used engine oil in them. And I separate the engine oil gasoline version from engine oil diesel version. And so maybe I can reuse it. I let it settle. And the heavy particles settle toward the bottom, and the lighter components, rise to the surface. So I can use this diesel engine oil and gasoline engine oil for lubricating things on the farm, like chains. Chains on the baler, the equivalent of bicycle-type chains. And those kinds of parts that slide back and forth or rotate, but not where you would use grease. So I don't throw the oil away, and I think it's criminal to buy new oil to serve purposes where I can reuse a product that's already been used once. So about these 55-gallon barrels, some of them I use for, the storing of used engine oil, and some of them have removable lids with bands. So they're... And you can get them in plastic, and you can get them in steel. And both types you can get with bungs that are sealed. So you can put a liquid in there and screw the bung plugs in there. And watertight and airtight, which is good for storing used engine oil. But you don't want to fill it more than 90% full. So a 55-gallon barrel, you wouldn't want to fill it more than, let's say, 50 gallons. That way you have room for air expansion and contraction, and the barrel won't burst. Because what happens when typically some liquids, just about all liquids, expand, when they are warmed up. So 50 gallons of oil in an oil drum at freezing temperatures expands to maybe 52 gallons when it's hot outside, and the oil has a chance to warm up. Same with water. So that's why you need room for expansion. And the air will compress, but the liquid won't. Which, by the way, is why we use brake fluid, which is an oil, in our braking systems because it will not compress. If you have air in the brake lines, which will compress, you'll have a spongy brake pedal. It's another lesson you just heard about spongy brake pedals. Okay, so these 55-gallon barrels come in plastic and they come in steel. And they have bung-type threaded plugs, or they have lids that are removable. The entire lid is removable. And it's held on by a steel band. That's kind of a snap-in-place band. And it can be secured or removed over and over and over and over again. So what we do is we have removable lid 55-gallon barrels in plastic and in steel. And all of the ones that we have are food grade. And the reason we did that, and that way we wouldn't get them confused with non-food grade barrels. The food grade barrels that we have were used for syrup. Syrup came from Africa, and you can buy it in little tiny bottles on the internet. But when it comes to the company that pours it off from the 55-gallon drum into little bottles, it comes in these epoxy-coated food grade coatings on the inside of the steel barrel so they don't rust, so you don't have rust in your syrup. Well, what we do is we buy them and then we wash them out with a garden hose, high-pressure washer. We have one of those, and we get most of the syrup out with a garden hose, and we use a high-pressure washer, and we rinse them out with that. Then we use a dishwashing-type detergent, make sure it's absolutely clean. And then we use them for things like dog food and chicken scratch and chicken layer mix. Okay, and so we put the animal feeds and the what's called the range cubes for the cattle. And, you know, sometimes we give cows treats. And so we have these 50-pound bags of cow treats for training them. And they're rewarding them for what good behavior. So we keep them in the 55-gallon drums with the removable lids. Now, we keep them in an area. Sometimes they're outside. Sometimes they're inside. The ones that are outside get rained on. And the lid is perfect for catching the rain. So the lids, after it rains, will always have water in them because the barrels are plumb and level. And we set them on blocks of wood or bricks or something like that so they don't rust out through the bottom. And that's important. If they're sitting on the dirt, they'll rust through. So we don't do that. We set them off the ground on blocks of wood. And so how do you get the water off the lid? And it's like never ending. Every time it rains, and it hadn't rained for like a couple months here, but now it's raining almost every day, so there's water on these lids. So what I do is I take a towel, you know, a used towel that, you know, it's on its last use, whatever that is, you know, we've used it, it's shredded, it's got holes in it. So I take that towel, and I put it on the lid, about a quarter of the towel on the lid. Then three quarters of the towel I hang off the side of the barrel. Now, this is really good. So if you have an HOA, they'll really appreciate the look of the ingenuity that you're going to be showing your neighbors. So you hang this towel off the 55-gallon barrel, and what happens is the capillary action lifts the water off the lid, over the lip, the rim, and down the side, and drip, 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 drip. So you don't have to remove the water. Just put that towel there. And it can be the size of a washcloth. It can be the size of a, you know, three-quarters the size of a bath towel. Pretty much any kind of towel you want will work. You could probably even use a cotton sock. And it works great. So that is one little lesson that that will save you some time. Because for us, every time it rains, you know, scooping off the water, and you'd have to find some kind of a flat kind of a scoop. You couldn't use like a yogurt cup or a cottage cheese container because they're round and it won't scoop very much water out. You'd have to find some kind of a flat container to scoop the water out. So this works absolutely great. Any questions? Let me just look around. Okay, I don't see any questions. And by the way, I'm going to click right now Oh, got Charles in Ohio. We do have a question. Hey, Charles, welcome.
Good morning, Vincent. I hope you're well in the class.
Great. You know, I didn't have the stack, the Comrex stack connected, and I just connected it, and there you are. So, welcome. Everybody is well here, and you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you.
Great.
I had emailed you, and I didn't know if you had received a couple times. I just was giving you a couple of links and address you might want to look at, but commenting on what you were speaking about, you put in a way that used oil I always think is a great idea because when I speak about a closed fuel system, it's a step in evolution. You know, we start out with what we currently have, and we go maybe to a vapor-type fuel system, but it's interlinked, and see, these ideas and these inventions are always affect each other and leave us a lot of room to take improvement. But the thing about the used oil is when you go to a gas producer, like I say, that's the way before we started mining natural gas, they were selling gas as a utility through underground pipes. But it wasn't natural gas. It was producer gas or manufactured gas or synthetic gas. And each of those technologies, and this relates to like a lot of people seeing the bus powered on wood, burning wood on Doomsday Preppers. Well, that technology is the same. I mean, a lot of it comes. It's one of the earliest places you find a lot of records is Germany before the Second World War. Their citizens were generating their own gas and alternative fuels and working with this. But each of these technologies is a way to generate synthetic gas, and it just is to show us that, like you're saying, a lot of people would throw that oil away as a waste product or pay somebody to dispose of it for them, whereas it's a valuable commodity that can be turned into a synthetic gas. A fixed gas is what you're trying to achieve, and there's different ways to do it. But when you have an internal combustion engine and you have a tank and you have that feedstock, and that's what each of the technologies is. When they were making manufactured gas in communities around America before Edison and others went around buying up these utilities and consolidating them, they were using different feedstocks. They could use wood, wooden coal, wooden tar, and those are just two options. In your automobile, you can use. And see, it's the aspect of the gas you're creating. See, they wanted for city gas, which is manufactured gas, they wanted a gas that would burn brightly when used as a lamp illumination fuel. We got the break coming up, so I'll let you.
So, Charles, if the class has watched Combat, C-O-M-B-A-T, exclamation point, the 1960s series of a squad of U.S. Army soldiers in France toward the end of the war, there are images of a gas-fired truck, a wood gasification truck.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you, too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So, class, for real, they're under the Nazis, gasoline was very, very hard to come by. It was rationed in World War II in Europe and in the United States. And so there were trucks that were powered by gasoline. But what some of the French did was they converted their trucks, some of their trucks, I'm talking about big trucks, to run on wood. And what they had was a wood firebox. And as the smoke went up the chimney, and the chimney, the firebox was right in front of the passenger foot area on the outside of the truck. So it was a wood firebox that would burn wood on the outside of the firebox. And I guess they weren't too concerned about setting fires along the roadway because the Germans were bombing France all the time. So, you know, what's one more fire, right? So these wood fireboxes on the side of the truck would produce gas and go up the chimney, which was a pipe. And from that gas that went up the chimney, some of it was extracted and brought in through the intake manifold of the engine because the gas had unburned hydrocarbon or unburned fuel. So it wasn't a really perfect combustion, a burning system for the wood. So a lot of unused energy in the wood. So that unused energy was brought into the intake system of a four-cycle engine, standard gasoline-type engine, and it worked. Now, that's not the ideal fuel. And it's not perfect, and it would sputter, and it'd bang, and it would pop, but it worked. And so is it better than nothing? Absolutely. So literally, at our Get Prepared Expo, we had classes on wood gasification. And what that really means is you could run your generator, your gasoline-powered generator, from a wood fire. Now, of course, you have to have a container for the wood. And literally, you could have wood burning in the bottom of a barrel. And then toward the top of the barrel, you could extract some of the gas. You'd have to cool it a little bit, filter it, so that you're not bringing smoke into the engine, which would destroy the engine. And it would run. It would literally run. And some people have used material, like what would the filter be? And where would you get them? I mean, if you can't get gasoline, where would you get a filter? People would use straw. Straw. And then they'd distribute the straw, into their garden, because simply the straw would just have wood ash smoke in it, which is perfectly fine to throw in the garden and till it in and you have some soil amendment being the straw with the wood smoke in it. Charles, any comments about that?
Oh, yeah, you bring up excellent points. And like you're saying, you can extract the smoke coming out of your combustion area. But they also, like I say, it's always an evolution when people, and this is the work of a lot of people banging their head and pulling their hair out, come up with better ideas, and they come up with solutions for problems. But evolution along the way of burning wood is they enclose like a green wood in a, think of it as a pressure cooker. And they expose that to the fire, and that green wood would just generate a gas. That way you're not drawing in sooty combustion products. You're drawing in the gas that's outgassing from the wood that's being cooked inside of a separate vessel. And that works well. And like I say, and it goes on from there, just more ideas. There's a lot of different things that – see, they're like steps on a ladder that, and they also like form a lattice that these ideas relate. They're not the same ideas, but they get a different term. And a lot of, like you're saying, the work that was done in Germany in the Second World War, they filed patents that are available here in the United States. I mean, that they filed them with the U.S. Patent Office. They had them in Germany also, but different ideas. You can see a lot of the work that individuals did to advance this science. And like I say, it offshoots and relates to different feedstocks also they use. And got another break coming up.
So. Yeah, we do. And Charles, when we get back from this break, I have a question for you. Something we've never talked about. How do you heat your home? What kind of fuel do you use? And have you modified that heating system? We'll be right back.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Samsung Electronics is warning some U.S. customers that their personal data was exposed in a recent breach. The company stressed the breach did not involve Social Security numbers or credit card or debit card numbers, but said the data such as name, contact and demographic information, date of birth, and product registration information may have been affected. It was kind of unclear, though, exactly what demographic information may include. European energy prices surged after Russia shut down natural gas flows through a major pipeline, threatening to add economic woes for businesses and households across the continent. Natural gas futures in Northwest Europe, which reflect the cost of fuel in the wholesale market, jumped more than 30% in early trading Monday. Conservative Liz Truss was announced as the United Kingdom's new prime minister on Monday morning. USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
She retired in May, was suspended for 3 days by the school in April of 2021, and received a formal written reprimand that same month for addressing a biological female student by the student's birth name. The workforce in America has become stronger than ever.
On this Labor Day weekend, our workers are more empowered than ever. Employment expert Jim McCoy says the quiet quitting trend, the push for better pay and conditions at work, isn't going anywhere.
Despite a very slight uptick, we're at an all-time low in unemployment, and there are certain sectors, tech in particular, healthcare, where unemployment rates are below 1%. So the reality is employees have a lot of power to be able to determine how they want to work and where they want to work.
From the Gulf Coast Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Tony Maruso.
Today is Labor Day and Bob Newhart's birthday. Bob on Conan from 2006.
Usually when I go into a town, people say, you sure look like him. But now I get, I voted for you.
Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Yeah. Charles is with us in Ohio, USA Prepares instructor. Charles, so we've never talked about this, and if you don't want to talk about it, just say, I don't want to talk about it. But I was wondering, what kind of heat do you use in your home? And the reason I'm asking is, I have improved the efficiency of the heating systems in every place I've lived, and I'd be glad to delineate exactly what I mean by that, if you'd like to. So do you want to share with the class what you how you heat?
Yeah, I'd be happy to speak about it. The thing is, like I say, I spent most of my life as a bum. I'm cheap, so I've lived with
Me
my
too.
Father, and he had a forced air gas furnace. And that's one of the things I was looking into. You know, like you know, most of the furnaces in the United States up to, like, 1980 when the government, federal government started regulating them, they would be like 70 or 80% efficient. So, and that kind of mirrored an internal combustion engine. It would be 30% efficient. So the thing is, each of them combined together, you got like a 30% waste from a furnace and a 70% waste from an internal combustion engine. When you marry them together, it ends up, you can, and they call that a cogenerator. You can have natural gas to fuel a small engine that makes, and it usually it's like a one cylinder engine, maybe a 5 or 12 horsepower or something, and it will make heat. They will heat water, and it will generate electricity that can be used. But the way they keep people from doing this technology is you have to synchronize your generator to the power grid to the 60 cycles, and that's expensive equipment to do that. But if somebody my time is consumed up like everybody else's, but the bad thing is after years or even a short time, I get used to wasting time. I do a lot of research like you're saying, but every time I think my life's going to change, I have time to implement these things. Well, I've gone to a lot of people and tried to convince people with garages especially, well, you can use waste oil and you can use a lot of different little technologies where you won't have to be buying city utilities for electric and gas, because that's their first assault on us to get us to sign up and hook up to their grid, so we're pulling their debt. I have big
plans.
Let
me ask you this. Let me share some. Here's what I've done. So I bought the first house that Mrs. Finelli and I bought together. It was a brick colonial, two-story. It was big. It was built in 1945, and it was in need of a lot of repairs. A lot of repairs need to be done. So we got it very inexpensively, and it came with an oil burner in the basement that was from that era, 1945. So it had a 250,000 BTU oil gun. So what that meant was it would spray roughly 2 gallons of fuel oil per hour into the combustion chamber. And what I did, I didn't have a non-contact thermometer, but I could sense that the flue pipe was really hot. And I was thinking about this. Why am I sending all this hot gas up and out and warming, you know, the neighborhood? Why would I do that? So what I did was, it came, this particular oil burner was made by a company called Peerless. And Peerless was a company in Pennsylvania. I don't know if they're still around. They made a first-class, high-end, top-of-the-line oil burner. It was really, really well made. It was made for easy maintenance. And when you have an oil burner, it's a sooty flame. There's no question about it. So there's lots of soot. And then every year, you need to clean out all that soot from the oil burner. Otherwise, the soot acts as an insulator, and you will not extract the maximum amount of heat from the flame from the burning oil. So an oil burner works by two things. It has a pressure pump that pumps oil through a spray nozzle. So think about it like a plant sprayer or one of those squeeze bottles that you spray in your house, you know, like a window spray bottle. So a spray comes out like that in kind of a cone shaped, and air is blown in with it. So you have extra air under a small amount of pressure, very small pressure. And this oil and the combination of two with a spark will light this thing up, and you'll have a flame. And that flame will burn literally, in this particular case, 2 gallons of oil an hour, which is way too much. So what I did was I decided to buy some new oil burner nozzles. And at the time, they might have been $3 a piece, $2 a piece. What you do is you unscrew the nozzle, and it says like 2.5 or 2.0 or 1.5 or 1.0 or 0.75 or 0.5. 0.50. That means 0.50 is a half a gallon an hour. 0.75 is three-quarters of a gallon an hour. So I experimented all the way down to about a half a gallon an hour. So that is roughly one-fifth of the oil that this thing was burning. And what happened was the temperature of the flue pipe kept going down and down and down because I was absorbing more of the fuel that I was burning, and I was burning the fuel at a lower rate, and I kept driving the cost of this running this oil burner down, down, down. Now, what's a disadvantage? Well, if you want to have instant on heat, well, you have this massive oversized flame that can produce a lot of heat that you're going to waste a lot of, but it'll heat your house faster. Now, if you can prepare and you can say, you know what, I think it's going to be cold tonight. Instead of turning the heating system off, let's turn it to 60 degrees, you know, during the day. And as it gets colder, we can ramp it up maybe to 68 or 65. And that's what I did. And it worked great. Then I decided that, you know what, oil is so darn expensive as compared to natural gas. And the gas company, you know, the city utilities, if you will, that kind of an organization, would be glad to tap into the gas main that runs alongside the street, tap into that, into their high-pressure gas main, bring gas into the house, and put a regulator on that. And then from the regulator, you do the rest of the plumbing in the house. So I thought, well, heck, I can bring in 200,000 BTUs of natural gas. Inch and a quarter pipe or so is what I used. And I connected it down to three-quarter inch, down to a half-inch piece of black pipe, which is what's used for plumbing natural gas. It's like a galvanized pipe, but it's coated with a black coating, and it's called black pipe. And I plumbed that in, and I bought a 50,000-unit natural gas gun, 50,000 BTUs. So I was able to heat the whole house on 50,000 BTUs when it was at 250,000. Now I insulated, you know, parts of the attic and those kinds of things, and insulated the pipes, and it worked great. So I was able to reduce the heating bill dramatically. And I used that old, large, peerless, huge cast iron oil burner, but I converted it to natural gas. And the one I ultimately ended up using was one where you could turn this little screw adjustment, kind of like if you're going to adjust a carburetor for the amount of fuel to go through the, you know, the idle circuit. Well, I was able to adjust that, you know, as low as I wanted, let's say 50,000 or maybe 52,000 or 60,000 or 75,000, something like that. And it was great. Now, what did it cost for this whole unit? Well, I think the unit back in the 80s, you know, something like 1982, something like that, was probably around $50 to $75 for the conversion unit. It's fabulous. Now, the only problem is I was dependent on natural gas. Today, I don't know if I'd want to do that, but if that's what I had, I would convert it to natural gas. And here's something else that I did. And don't even think about this, class. I found some screen, and I looked at the passages inside the oil burner, which is designed to blow five times more heat through. And I thought that I ought to slow that down. And so I took some screen, and I cut this screen, it was heavy screen, and I put it on top of the cast iron sections of the furnace to slow down and distribute the heat so it'd be absorbed more by the cast iron heat exchanger inside this heat exchanger box, because it was a hot water heating system. And it worked so well that so much of the heat was absorbed that the flue temperature came down to about 200 and something degrees. So from, let's say, 600 or 700 degrees with the oil burner, it came down to 200 degrees. So we used very little. I mean, we wasted very little heat, and it worked so well. But don't do it, because you can blow the house up if you don't know what you're doing. Okay. So, Charles, any comments about how I modified the heat exchanger? I know this is radio, and it'd be better with pictures, but I don't have, you know, pictures of this.
It's excellent. It brings up so many points. And the basics of what you're talking about, the thermodynamics, and exactly what you're saying, heat going up the chimney is waste. And that's the thing that it relates to when a contractor comes in and tries to sell you a new boiler, or when you purchase a car. The thing is, it's the same thing. When you have overcapacity, it gives you plenty of opportunity to throw your money down the drain rather than use it effectively. And see, that's the same situation we have with switching over from gasoline-powered vehicles to electric vehicles. And I grew up with, and I am comfortable with, internal combustion, but I see in the long run where in a lot of applications electric power has advantages. And when I say electric power, it's electric power that you generate for your vehicle on demand. It's like all these Teslas. I say all these Teslas ought to go down to the Builder Square and buy themselves a generator and put it in the trunk. And see, that would be just be a crude approximation of what I see. And what I see is the same thing they use in these large dump trucks that you can put a house in the back of. You have the diesel engine as a power generator, and it has electric motors on the wheels. And it just brings up the same thing as waste. See, across America, you say, hey, we switched to electric cars, we've definitely got a power grid problem. But if we switch to what they call internal combustion with electric transmission, then we generate our power on demand at the point of use, which saves money in the transmission. So it's simplified.
We come back to a couple of things I like, exclamation points about this. About some of these Tesla generators and these electric car vehicle generators. They're diesel-powered, or they're coal-powered, or they're radiation-powered. No kidding. Or they're natural gas-powered.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Charles is with us. Charles in Ohio. So, Charles, you were talking about diesel or generator for electric-powered vehicles. Well, I am looking at a series of images that were sent to me. Bert sent them to me. And it says to all, here's one picture. And in this picture is a chain-link fence. Inside the chain-link fence is a Kohler diesel generator. And this is a liquid-cooled diesel generator. This is a big generator. It's the kind of thing that you couldn't fit this in the back of a pickup truck. It would collapse the back of a pickup truck. So it's a multi-cylinder, water-cooled diesel engine. And it looks like just the muffler itself is probably 6 feet long, 12 inches in diameter. That's the muffler. Okay. So it's pretty big. Well, it's connected to a Blink, B-L-I-N-K, that's the name on the front of this electric charger, for a charging an electric vehicle. And the caption says, this is a picture of an electric car charging station that are popping up everywhere. Here's the interesting fact. The 350-kilowatt generator uses 12 gallons of diesel fuel per hour, and it takes about 3 hours to fully charge a car to get 200 miles. That's 36 gallons for 200 miles, or 5.6 miles per gallon. And the last line says, proof you can't fix stupid. Here's another one. It's another brand, big diesel generator hooked up to a charger that can charge an electric car, possibly two. Here's another picture I'm looking at, and there is an electric car on the side of the road, just sitting there, and there's a portable Polestar generator. And it says, well, there it is, a gas generator used to charge a dead battery in an electric car. And then there's another one. It says, this is a picture of a Caterpillar earth-moving machine. Now, there's a guy standing next to this. He's standing next to the wheel. Now, he's got his hard hat on, and the tire is so large on this piece of earth-moving equipment that his hard hat does not even come to the center of the wheel. Okay, so he's standing next to this wheel tire assembly, and it looks like the center point of the wheel, the axle of the wheel, is maybe 7 feet off the ground. So it's a foot over his head. Now, there are steps to climb up into the cab of this cat or caterpillar piece of equipment. It's called the 994H. So it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 steps. So to climb up into the cab, you have to climb up 17 steps. That's huge. And it says that this cat, 994H, model 994H, burns 1,800 gallons of fuel in a 12-hour shift. This machine is required to move 500,000 pounds of earth in order to get the minerals needed for one single Tesla car battery. In whose world does this type of math and Green New Deal make sense? Obviously, it doesn't make any sense. Here's another picture of a service van. It's painted, you know, taxi cab yellow, you know, so you can tell it's coming. And it's a van, and it's pulling a trailer. And the trailer has, you know, single axle with two wheels. And in this box in the trailer, the lid pops open so you can have air ventilation. And it has a generator in it. So this is a company that pulls around generators on a trailer with a plug that they can plug. They can pull this trailer right next to your electric vehicle that is stranded on the side of the road with dead battery, and they can, you know, within an hour or two, charge the battery of the electric vehicle enough so you can get to another charger. And there's another picture of men with hard hats, you know, rough, hard-working-looking guys. And they've got their hard hats on, and they've got their overalls on. These guys are, you know, working really hard. And says, these men produce oil for my diesel truck. So they're oil workers. And it looks like they're in an oil rig. And then below that, there's a picture that says, these children produce lithium for your electric car. And they're out, you know, digging in the dirt in a mine pit. And then here's another picture of, it looks like a lot of swimming pools. And there are green ones and blue ones and tan ones and yellow ones and dark yellow ones. And it says, this is a lithium leach field. This is what your electric car batteries are made of. It is so neurotoxic that a bird landing on this stuff dies in minutes. Take a guess what it does to your nervous system. Pat yourself on the back for saving the environment. And then there's another picture of a guy who's charging his electric vehicle. He looks like he's like a real smart guy. He's charging an electric vehicle and says, doesn't become electric until it's charged. Without fossil fuels, it's worthless. So electric cars are charged by fossil fuels. Coal, natural gas, oil, radioactive elements, you know, nuclear reactors. And here's another picture of a flooded electric vehicle charging station. Looks like we've got about 20 chargers and the whole field is flooded. Who would get stand in water to charge an electric vehicle? We'll be right back.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.